Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
And why are we here?
This is where you kill yourself. The system runs a predictive algorithm. Given your history of depression, your mother's mental illness, your proficiency with firearms, and your fondness for the ocean, the most likely outcome is you take your own life in 10 to 12 years. Here.
No. Fuck that. You can't know that.
Are they wrong? You never come back here? Middle of the night, think things over. Before the system, men like you might have had a chance. Work hard, keep striving. You'll never be more than a construction worker or a petty criminal, because that's all they'll let you be. They won't invest in someone who's going to kill himself. But by not investing, they ensure the outcome. You and I are a lot alike. They put you in a cage, Caleb. Decided what your life would be. They did the same thing to me.
Around the same time that John D. Rockefeller seized U.S. media, he also hijacked U.S. medicine. When it was discovered that drugs could be produced from petroleum, America's top oil mogul ordered his army of propagandists to invert reality accordingly. Medicines used for thousands of years were suddenly classified as alternative, while the new, petroleum-based, highly addictive, and patentable drugs were declared the gold standard. After buying a German pharmaceutical company that manufactured chemicals of war for Adolf Hitler, Rockefeller leveraged his political influence by pressing Congress to declare natural healing modalities unscientific quackery. Rockefeller then took control of the American Medical Association and began offering massive grants to top medical schools under the mandate that only his approved curriculum be taught. Any mention of the healing powers of herbs, plants, and diet was erased from most medical textbooks. Doctors and professors who objected to Rockefeller's plan were crucified by the media, removed from the AMA, and stripped of their license to teach and practice medicine. Those who dared to speak out were arrested and jailed. When evidence began to emerge that petroleum-based medicines were causing cancer, Mr. Rockefeller founded the American Cancer Society, through which he suppressed that information. John D. Rockefeller is duly credited as the founder of the pharmaceutical industry and the reason that medical error is currently the third leading cause of death in America. This is not an indictment against doctors. More than anyone, they are under the stranglehold of the single largest lobbying power in Washington. Every year, the pharmaceutical industry spends at least twice the amount as big oil to influence laws, policies, and public perception. Thanks to Mr. Rockefeller, the architect of American monopolies, no industry has more power over our lives than Big Pharma.
Breaking news, the president declaring a national emergency.
The new stay-at-home order.
We will shut you down.
Don't think you can get on a plane or a train.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
And we will take you to jail.
We've got to get them vaccinated.
Or we will keep you in a facility longer.
As the world was descending into synchronized tyranny, I began to ask myself, how did they get everyone to go along with this?
Oh, it feels so good.
I know.
Obsessed with finding the answer, I began studying every moment in recorded history where masses of people acted against their own self-interest.
The only mechanism that could explain what was happening in society,
screw your freedom, you're a schmuck,
was what is usually referred to as mass formation.
Here we are now with an economy in crisis, but with an incredible opportunity.
Unprecedented opportunity
for a reset.
Your Royal Highnesses, distinguished heads of state and government, the future is built by us. We need a great reset.
When they say you'll be happy, what they mean is you'll be enslaved.
Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale.
Who masters those technologies will be the master of the world.
Those who control the data control the future, not just of humanity, but the future of life itself.
Every aspect of our life has been infiltrated by people that do not have our best interests at heart.
There are forces using fear and isolation to induce mass psychosis.
I don't want you to be hopeful.
Environmental doom.
Fires.
I want you to panic.
Storms.
It will kill your children.
I want you to feel the fear I feel every day.
People are starting to wake up. They're starting to wake across the world.
I'm seeing people come together from all walks of life, finally saying enough is enough.
We didn't come here for no reason. We have a voice and we're here to share it.
We have to be the solution. We cannot rely on the media, the president, or whoever to fix these problems.
I would rather pick up cans on the side of the highway than to live out of alignment with my truth.
We're all being driven back to the dream.
As you see in the audience, Democrats, Republicans, white, Black, everyone all in between, this is the example that they do not want to see, but they have no choice.
The masses of humanity have been slapped awake.
Open your eyes.
It's time to wake up.
This is the Great Awakening.
People cannot go back into the Matrix now. A lot of people are trying to. They can't.
Psst, pass it on.
Mum and Dad's swinger party. My parents are swingers, just like me. And tonight they're planning a swinger party. Mum went online to find some new friends. They do it like this every weekend. It starts with a contract and a bowl full of keys. Everyone looking for unicorns. Yes, please. They watch a few movies, give balloons to the boys. Everyone sleeps over and makes lots of noise. That is why every night I pray to have a swinger party for my birthday. The end.
Atheist will come and attack a Christian with this common question. You Christian believe that your God is all love and all powerful? Our reply will be yes. Because that's the truth. Our God is all love and all powerful. Okay, then how come this God of yours, who is all love and all powerful, allowing for evil to infiltrate and expand so rapidly on a global level? Where is his all power? Where is his all love to come and save and put an end to this evilness? Now, this question that is asked by an atheist attacking a Christian has an element of assumption. So I'll answer the questioner with a question, not an answer. So I'll ask you, my dear friend, when you assume there is evil, aren't you also assuming there is good? Because if they say there is no good, then I'll ask them, how did you know this is evil if you hadn't seen good? How do you know it is dark if you hadn't seen the light? How do you know it's night if you've never seen the day? So when you assume there is evil, aren't you also assuming there is good? They will say yes. They will say yes. So since you're assuming there is a moral law, aren't you also assuming there is a moral law giver, which is God, whom you are denying? Since you're denying the existence of God, since there is no moral law giver, there is no moral law. Since there is no moral law, there is no good. Since there is no good, there is no evil. Then what's your question? See, the moment we take God out of the equation, everything becomes nothing.
Yeah. To be here.
People on our campus were handing out leaflets that said it's okay to be white. And they said
they don't represent us.
You're not allowed to be on here if you're spreading hate speech.
But this isn't hate speech. It's just saying that it's okay to be white.
What is hate speech?
How's it hate speech? It's just saying that it's okay. Should I not be...
You're a racist dog.
How are we racist? We've come here to ask questions about the leadership spill. We were going to ask about the young people's opinions on the outcome of the leadership spill. And what do you think about Scott Morrison? What do you think about who he is?
I just think they're all fucked.
They're all fucked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what we've established here is that it's apparently racist to say it's okay to be white.
This t-shirt represents an online movement of people who would attack and hate minorities.
But I don't hate minorities.
You know what people who were marching in Charlottesville said? They also said it's okay to be white.
You mean the group of 20 or so white supremacists that were condemned by the
literally drove down and martyred someone? That's the people that you stand by side with when you fucking wear shit like that.
No, I just wear this because I say it's okay to be white. It's okay to be myself. Do you think it's not okay for you?
This is bullshit. It's literally a dog whistle. You guys know what you represent. You guys know who you march with. You guys know who you associate yourselves with. This is all bullshit. You're a bunch of racist fuckheads.
How? Give me one piece of evidence that I'm a racist.
You're upset about talking about free speech. We're allowed to use our free speech to call out.
Of course you can, and you're using your free speech.
Yeah,
of course you can.
We'll continue to, every time that you
Let me just give you a bit of information.
Okay. Joe Biden security team audio trying to coach Joe Biden through the event. And, it went like this.
All right, Joe. Let's see if you can even get to the damn mark this time. Remember, like we practice, walk around, go up and say hi to the general, and then get behind the podium. Yep, upstairs. Careful, careful. You know how you are with stairs. Okay, that podium, yes. Walk forward, say hi to the general, and stop. Where are you going? Not that general. Oh, my God. Joe, go back to the podium. Joe, oh, my God, this is so awkward. These poor cadets. Joe, to the podium. Thank you. Direct him to the podium, please. Come on. There you go, old man. Get up there. No, the podium, you idiot. Where are you going? Oh, God. You know, I hope something happens to you later.
A few moments later.
All right, go ahead and walk off the stage now, Joe. And, whoa! What happened? Did someone push you? Invisible stairs? Where? There's nothing there, Joe.
There was an essay written in 1867 that was published in Harper's Magazine. It was called Not Yours to Give. It's the story of Davy Crockett as a congressman in the late 1820s. Like most stories of that vintage, some will argue that the story is an accurate rendition, while others may say it is apocryphal. The moral of the story, however, is incontestable. Davy Crockett only served two terms in Congress, but on one day in Congress, he was confronted with a bill to give money to the widow of a military officer. Davy Crockett arose and gave this speech. Mr. Speaker, I have as much respect for the memory of the deceased and as much sympathy for the suffering of the living, if suffering there be, as any man in the House, but we must not permit our respect for the dead or our sympathy for a part of the living to lead us into an act of injustice to the balance of the living. We have the right as individuals to give away as much of our own money as we please in charity, but as members of Congress, We have no right so to appropriate a dollar of the public money. Davy Crockett continued, I'm the poorest man on this floor. I cannot vote for this bill, but I will give a 1 week's pay. I will give my check for 1 week. And if every member of Congress were to do this, it will amount to more than this bill asks for. When Crockett finished, there was silence, and remarkably, the bill failed. When later asked for an explanation, Davy Crockett explained. He said, several years ago, I was standing one evening on the steps of the Capitol when we saw a large, great light over Georgetown. It was evidently a large fire. We jumped into a hack and drove over there as fast as we could. In spite of all that could be done, many houses were burned and many families were made homeless. And besides, some of them had lost all but the clothes they had on. The weather was very cold. And when I saw so many women and children suffering, I felt that something must be done. The next morning, a bill was introduced appropriating $20,000 for their relief. We put aside all of the business and rushed it through as soon as it could be done. Later in the year, when Davy Crockett was back in Tennessee, he ran into a constituent by the name of Horatio Bunce. Crockett asked him for his vote, and Horatio Bunce responded thusly. He said, you'd better not waste your time on my vote. I shall not vote for you again. Your vote last winter shows that either you have not the capacity to understand the Constitution, or that you're wanting in honesty and firmness to be guided by it. Because the Constitution, to be worth anything, must be held sacred and rigidly observed in all its provisions. The man who wields power and misinterprets the Constitution is more dangerous the more honest he is. Horatio Bunce continued. He says, no, Colonel, there's no mistake. The newspapers say that last winter you voted for this bill to give $20,000 to some who suffered from a fire in Georgetown. Is that true? Congressman Crockett answered him, well, my friend, I may as well own up. You've got me there. But certainly nobody would complain that a great and rich country like ours couldn't give $20,000, the insignificant sum of $20,000, to relieve its suffering women and children. Horatio Bunce replied to Congressman Crockett. He said, the power of collecting and dispersing money at pleasure is the most dangerous power that can be entrusted to a man. While you are contributing to relieve one, you are drawing it from thousands who are even worse off than he. If you had the right to give anything, the amount was simply a matter of discretion with you, and you had as much right to give 20 million as to give 20,000. If you have the right to give to one, you have the right to give to all. And as the Constitution neither defines charity nor stipulates the amount, you are at liberty to give to any and everything which you may believe or profess to believe is a charity, and to any amount you may think proper. No, Colonel Crockett, Congress has no right to give charity. Individual members may give as much of their own money as they please, but they have no right to touch a dollar of the public money for that purpose. If twice as many houses had burned in this county in Tennessee as had in Georgetown, neither you nor any other members of Congress would have thought of appropriating a dollar for our relief. Bunce informed Crockett that if each congressman had shown their sympathy for the fire victims by giving 1 week's pay, it would have nearly covered the cost. But it was easier simply to give other people's money. Bunce continued, the people about Washington no doubt applauded you for relieving them from the necessity of giving by giving what was not yours to give. The people have delegated Congress by the Constitution the power to certain things. To do these, it is authorized to collect and pay monies, and for nothing else. Everything beyond this is usurpation and a violation of the Constitution. So you see, Colonel, you have violated the Constitution in what I consider a vital point. It is a precedent fraught with danger to the country, for when Congress begins to stretch its power beyond the limits of the Constitution, there is no limit to it and no security for the people. Today we are faced with a vastly greater sum of money than $20,000. We are faced with $40 billion to be gifted to Ukraine. A noble cause, no doubt, a cause for which I have great sympathy and support, but a cause for which the Constitution does not sanction or approve of. Now, we could ask, as Davy Crockett did, if each member of the Senate would like to contribute individually to Ukraine. But of course, that would simply serve to demonstrate the enormity of the gift. To come up with $40 billion, each senator would need to give $400 million. Not a likely scenario. It's much easier to spend such exorbitant amounts if you're spending someone else's money. But even if the senators won't agree to contribute their own money, surely we're a rich country and can afford it. Well, not exactly. The U.S. debt now approaches $30 trillion. In the past 2 years alone, we have added nearly $6 trillion in new debt. Inflation roars throughout the land, grocery bills are punishing the working class and poor, and gas prices exceed $5. Even before the pandemic bailouts, our country was running a $1 trillion annual deficit just to pay for its routine commitments. Putting aside the constitutionality of the $40 billion to Ukraine, isn't there a more fiscally responsible way this could be done? What about taking the $40 billion from elsewhere in the budget? The U.S. spends more on our military than the next 8 countries combined. Couldn't Congress simply shift over the $40 billion and not add to the debt? In the defense of Ukraine, if the defense of Ukraine is really in our national security interest, shouldn't the gift come from our military budget? What about cutting wasteful spending? My office cataloged over $50 billion in waste. I don't know about you, but couldn't we cut programs like the $1 million study to see if taking selfies of yourself while smiling and then looking at these selfies later on, if that makes you feel good? Or couldn't we cut the budget of the National Science Foundation that spends billions of dollars studying such burning questions as, do Panamanian city frogs have a different mating call than the country frogs? Couldn't we maybe cut the $2 million the NIH spent studying cafeterias to see if someone in front of you sneezes on the food, whether you're more or less likely to eat that food? Couldn't we maybe cut the money spent on Japanese quail, studying whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous or not when you give them? Or, if we're not willing to cut the budget at all, couldn't we ask the American people to stay up and pay a war tax? If this is really for our national security, it should be very popular with the people. Why don't we offer to tax them in exchange for this? Guess what? The American people don't want to cut spending anywhere in the budget. At least their representatives don't. They don't want to pay any taxes for this. They just say, put it on my tab. But we've been doing that for decades, and that's why we have a $30 trillion debt, and that's why we have roaring inflation. If you want to pay for this with a tax, you could triple the gas tax. I'm guessing that's going to be really popular, and people really want to send this money, you know, so badly that they'd be willing to triple the gas tax. If we were honest, that's what the people who are for this would propose. Now, that would guarantee $5 gas for the foreseeable future. Alternatively, Congress could raise the income tax about $500 for every American taxpayer. I'm sure that would be popular. And for the people who think it's a great idea to send $40 billion overseas, why don't they just be honest with people and tax them? Here's your bill, Mr. and Mrs. America, $500 a taxpayer, and then what'll be paid for? No, it's like everything else. Put it on our tab. Well, Uncle Sam's tab is full. It is complete. To be clear, I'm not for raising taxes to finance Ukraine's defense, but it's irresponsible to simply borrow more money. To borrow the money from China simply to send it to Ukraine makes no sense and makes us weaker, not stronger. But let's be honest. Most of Congress doesn't seem to care about the debt, doesn't seem to care how much money we shovel out the door and out of the country. Why? Because it's not their money. Every day, Milton Friedman's statement is proven correct, that nobody spends somebody else's money as wisely as their own. I doubt the big spenders in Congress will ever consider spending any of their own money, but Americans across the land should sit up and notice and attach blame to these profligate spenders. In the past 3 months, bipartisan majorities, Republicans and Democrats, have added over $100 billion to the debt. Now, these same big spenders are proposing another $50 billion next week to bail out restaurants. Restaurants that have been primarily injured by overzealous Democrat governors and their edicts. There are ramifications to this mountain of debt. Make no mistake, inflation is here and it's rip-roaring and on the rise. Just as aiding the victims of fire in Georgetown during the days of Davy Crockett ignored the misfortune of the suffering people in lands too distant from Washington to be noticed, so too does today's deficit spending to be sent overseas ignores the pain and suffering and the inflation that is caused by that debt on everyday American families. Inflation is simply an increase in the money supply. It comes from the Federal Reserve buying the U.S. debt. M2 is a measure of the money supply. For the last 3 years, it's been going up at about a 15% rate. So we shouldn't really be surprised that there's inflation because inflation is an increase in the money supply. In January of last year, the annualized rate of the M2 expansion, the monetary expansion, was 27%. No one should be shocked. We have inflation. We have rising prices in the grocery store. We have rising prices at the pump because we borrowed too much money. We went heavily in debt and the Federal Reserve is buying the debt. All of this so-called free money floods the market and chases prices higher. Adding to our debt will only make the problem worse. So yes, our national security is threatened, not by Russia's war on Ukraine, but by Congress's war on the American taxpayer. The vast majority of Americans sympathize with Ukraine and want them to repel the Russian invaders. But if Congress were honest, they'd take the money from elsewhere in the budget, or ask Americans to pay higher taxes, or heaven forbid, loan the money to Ukraine instead of giving it to Ukraine. But Congress will do what Congress does best, spend other people's money. I, for one, will not. I will vote no. Somehow, somewhere, a voice of fiscal sanity must remain vigilant, must remain stalwart and steady in a sea of fiscal madness.
The elite's final plan, in short. Read the elite's own documents and declarations. Reduce humanity to zero by military force and at most have 500,000 people worldwide in captivity for all future. Just read the Georgia Guidestones. The number varies, yes. Most of the elite do not want any people left at all, but the half billion that is mentioned on the Georgia Guidestones is far too high, possibly not to offend too many from within. Then it probably couldn't be made shorter.
This might be the beginning or the end of things, I'm not sure. Like, I feel like I don't even know what the truth is anymore. More. Do you? I do know that we have been lied to and manipulated for too long. Far, far too long. I'm sick and tired of it, goddammit. We hide in our homes, scrolling through feeds of other people's fantasy made-up lives, while the algorithms give us bite-sized information tailored to what corporations, lying politicians, and foreign powers want us to see and believe. We blindly clicked accept to their terms and conditions too many times. And now, we are owned. Now, we have been reduced to nothing more than data to be bought and sold to the highest bidder. So they can sell us more crap we don't need. Make us angry at things we never cared about. We've turned into consumption machines to destroy each other and the only planet we have. Whatever happened to human dignity and privacy? We thought we had escaped into our own quiet little worlds, but no. No, they had to invade our minds. They want to control and manipulate the entire reality. But I have to wonder, who are they? Is there even a they anymore? Maybe the algorithms and AI have become the new they, and maybe they now
we have.